Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Northern Tool and Equipment isn't just a store. It's a problem solver's paradise. Fully stocked with the right professional grade tools and fully staffed with experts who have the right answers. Problem solved.
Northern Tool and Equipment summer sale is on now. Stop in and save up to 50% on pressure washers, sprayers, generators, fans, lawn and garden equipment, and more. Hundreds of deals in store or at northerntool.com.
It is your weekly show here on the Blue Room. Hope everybody's doing well. Looking forward to Everton's trip to Old Trafford this weekend against a vulnerable Man United side. Potentially, we'll come on to have a chat about that in a little bit more detail later on. But joining me, first and foremost, Warren Doyle. Warren, how are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. It's good to be back on and good to see you as well.
Absolutely. And Les Roberts as well, who's been on, I think, pretty much every show this week. Put in a full 90 minutes with Rob Vera and Mark Mosey on the kickabout last night, and he's back again tonight as well.
It's been one of them weeks, yeah, definitely. It's good though, it, you know, it's nice when Everton win and you get to talk about it.
Just can't get enough toffees.
That's it. What about them toffees?
I think it's more for that. It's more for that husky voice you've got going on at the minute, Les, I reckon.
Do you know what? The other week it was really good. It was proper like Barry White stuff, like down by the floor and quite husky. Yeah. But it's getting better slowly. What's really doing me, I don't know. It's just really impinging on me, like this whole illness thing.
You sound good anyway.
I was going to say, were you digging the husky voice, were you? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bit of me, that.
It's like in Friends when Phoebe gets ill. She becomes really good at singing all of a sudden. But good you're on the mend anyway, Les. We will, of course, talk about that game at Old Trafford. What we can expect from Everton, I'm sure everyone's seen the training pictures today of Seamus Coleman and Dominic Calvert-Lewin doing individual work. And whether we can read too much into that or not, we'll have to wait and see. But first and foremost, lads, a bit of levity to get us going. It's not been a good week for two of our former managers. It might be a very good week for another one of our former managers. We'll come and talk about that in a bit. But we've got to start, Warren, with poor Ronald. Benfica 3, Barcelona 0 last night at the Estadio da Luz in Lisbon. And I mean, put it bluntly, he's having an absolute shocker there at the moment, isn't he? And based on what I've been reading today and what I've just read before I came on, by the time we finish recording this podcast and it goes out, the fella might be out of a job.
Yeah, it's real shame, isn't it? I'm really, yeah.
Sorry, sincere.
It just never looked like it was going to work. I know it was his dream job. I think he even mentioned when he was with us about the fact that he'd love to manage them one day. And you can understand that ex-player who had a lot of success with them. But the fact of the matter is, he's not a good manager. And I had reservations before he came to us. But, you know, he'd done all right at Southampton. And you thought, yeah, why not? He might be able to take us to the next level. But as he shows with us, just very weird decisions, very weird tactically. When he's gone on to other teams as well, you know, this has happened before, I believe, at Valencia and happened as well at PSV. He doesn't seem to have any sort of personable traits to him, whereby he doesn't seem to have any warmth or compassion for fans, fellow players, staff. And I think you can't really do that at the level of Barcelona when the scrutiny is on you anyway because of, you know, the local media or the media in Spain, how it is. But also, you're managing one of, if not the biggest club in the world, and there's no room to be playing games with your staff and coming out with these negative things. If you're at Barcelona, you simply put, you have to win. And at the moment, they look a shadow of what they were years ago under, you know, respective managers like Guardiola and whoever else. And they just don't look like the Barcelona we know in their, you know, in their pomp. And looking at them last night, I had the game on for a little bit last night. They do look worryingly average. they've seemed to have a massive fall from grace. And, you know, you look at it and you think, that's going to take some years to rebuild that. They haven't got the money to do it, as we you know, have been highlighted over the summer with the financial perils that they've got. It's going to take a lot of rebuilding there. So I think even if Koeman stays, it's not going to be pretty for a while. And then even if they remove him, whoever comes in next has probably got the dream job of a lifetime, but probably the most difficult job in world football at the moment.
Yeah, it feels like whoever comes in now, after him, will get a lot more patience by virtue of the fact that they're not him. It's sort of like post-Allardyce syndrome for us, where Marco Silva, everyone was like, for the first season, like, oh, this is all fine, you know, forget about these set pieces and all these mistakes. It's Silva, it's not Allardyce, so this is all going to be good, and you get a long grace period. But I think what's sort of impressive, Les, is that I think when he was at Everton, he was speaking about that dream job being Barcelona. Obviously, the link there is because of that goal he scored in 1992 against Sampdoria, and you know, the esteem which he was held in by the Barcelona supporters. But, you know, again, sort of going through social media and the reaction to this today, it feels like he's almost completely tarnished that legacy now with what he's done since he's gone there and become manager.
Yeah, you can't underestimate how big a character he is in Barcelona's history. I was surprised that I think he was Everton manager when, yeah, he was actually when I went to Barcelona, went on the Nou Camp tour, and he's absolutely everywhere. Because he scored that goal that got them their first European Cup, he is everywhere. And it is nice to think that he has tarnished that legacy, because he doesn't seem like a very nice fella at all, does he? You know, and it's good.
Yeah, it's
bad.
He's not really a deer, is he? You think like Barcelona and what they sort of put across themselves to be is just, you know, warm football club that embrace, you know, different ways of doing things and, you know, different characters. And he's just sort of very dour and standoff. He doesn't really fit in. When you think about that team that won that trophy under Cruyff and the personalities and the flamboyance and the sort of joy that they played with, he's not really that sort of character at all, is he?
No, he just seems really arrogant, doesn't he? As though his own reputation is bigger than anything else. And I think he probably has soured that quite a bit. You know, it's one of those that will probably be water under the bridge once he's gone after a few years. Everyone will just think back to what a good player he was. But I don't think he's done himself any favour with the Barcelona public there. Another thing that was quite funny as well, I found, was that Messi, Griezmann and Suarez all scored goals in this round of Champions League games. All players that have left under his watch. So that would have just made it even worse for him.
It's mad, isn't it? It's absolutely mad from that point of view. I mean, he's not had it totally easy, as you suppose, Warren. You know, you mentioned about the financial crisis there, and obviously, you know, Messi going is always going to be a major blow for them. But it does sort of feel as though they're trying to bring in younger players. I've seen one of the lads they've got there today. Forgot his name. Forgive me. He's been called up to the Spain squad, I think, after only playing something like 100-odd minutes in the Barcelona first team. But based on what we saw at Everton and, you know, Southampton and other clubs he's been at, if you want to bring through young players and give them confidence and give them belief not to go out and make mistakes, it doesn't really seem like the ideal fella to be doing that.
No, and the experienced players he's still got there as well have fell by the wayside, probably a little bit past their peaks now as well. He has, you know, he has been dealt a difficult hand in the sense of with the financial situation. You know, there probably is a lot of it that is in his fault. And as you mentioned, it was a very young, different, unrecognisable almost Barcelona side that was playing last night in Lisbon against Benfica. But just, you know, what Les said, he just doesn't come across. I think there's always talk about the modern players now, because you think back to managers of the past, you think of the managers in the 60s, 70s, who the job was to manage and players got on with it. I think players nowadays are a lot more sensitive, but there's also a lot more needs catered for around different, you know, different areas, injuries, nutrition, that sort of thing. And I think there's a lot more attention paid to what players are outside of the bubble of football, which is a good thing and a positive thing. So to be able to manage that and handle that, you need to have the necessary skills. You think of any jobs, you know, people who work in everyday jobs and you've got managers, line managers, that type of thing. The only way you ever successful is if you've got a company or a group that you work for whereby there's good leadership and management skills. And there's all training courses and everything for people to go on to learn and to prepare themselves to become better leaders, better managers. And I think that applies in some ways to football management. I think there are those players who, you know, you could have a go at and to get them motivated. And there's players that, you know, you sometimes need to put your arm around. I think of Alex Ferguson when he had it at Cantona. And Ryan Giggs said that he used to have a go at me all the time, Ryan Giggs said. And then Cantona walked in and he said it was as if he'd never done anything wrong in his life. So because he knew Cantona needed that management style. With Koeman, you just don't feel that there's a style there at all, a warmth, a sort of a willingness to embrace different needs. Whether or not we see, that's what we see from the outside and something different in. But the evidence suggests that there isn't a difference to that. The evidence does suggest that he's got players left, right and centre who don't really want to play for him. And that was highlighted, of course, you know, when he was with us too.
He seems to me like he's only got sort of 2 gears to go through, either horrible or dead horrible. It's just like there doesn't seem to be any sort of middle ground with him. But yeah, it's like the thing it shows for me as well is it doesn't matter how good the team or the club is, it can all unravel really, really quickly. You know, we saw it with the Everton 80s team, how quickly that unraveled. And before you know it, we're a bog standard team 7 years after winning the title, winning a relegation scrap on the last day. I think there's mechanisms in place now, so things like that will not happen to a club like Barcelona. And you even look at Liverpool under Hodgson, the way they really spectacularly fell. But again, there's things in place where that will never affect them to the extent where it might affect other clubs. But it is something every club's got to be wary of, because if you've got like, and Man United as well, if you've got that sort of 20-year legacy doing really well, and it's built around, you know, replacing good players with better players or just as good players, then suddenly you can't do that. That's when it all falls apart. And if you've got a manager who can't cope with that, it just exacerbates it.
Yeah, I think they sort of brought him in, didn't they? Because he was popular, I think, at the time. And, you know, the club was going through a bit of a bad spot, and bringing a legend, and it sort of might be all right. But, you know, who knows what's going to happen there now. Just before we move on to speak about Martinez potentially taking over, which is, I mean, it's mad. did you see the picture of him smiling at full time last night? This big, massive grin on his face, Koeman.
I didn't see that now.
I'll put it in the chat now. Les, if you're going to put this on YouTube, you could do some of your magic editing and get the photo potentially up.
Really, Koeman, I'll do that.
But, I'm just trying to find the chat. Here we go. But I mean, it looks like it's like the cat that got the creeps, like a big comedy smile. I was just thinking, imagine if we lost 3-0 anywhere and you see him doing that straight after the game. I mean, it's quite bizarre, isn't it?
Right, so I have seen this picture and I genuinely thought it was someone on the wind-up doing a Photoshop. Is that, and that's real, is it?
Yeah, it was at the end of the game last night.
Could you imagine if he was still our manager, like the Everton fume online just going to overdrive, if that type of picture came out? That's unbelievable what you've just sent there.
That's basically the dog in the burning building meme, isn't it? This is...
Everything's fine, yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to try and get that as the picture for the show. But what about Martinez going there to replace him?
Well,
I was
still a Martinez fan to the end, personally. But it does seem mad. It just seems crazy that you know, all these ex-Everton managers going to these clubs and it's just not working out. Do you remember in the first season when he had his good season with us, it sort of hinted that Barcelona might be interested, and we were sort of all a bit like, oh no, here we go again, get poached, another manager poached. And he made that comment, didn't he, where he said, joking, the reporter said to him, oh, what do you make of the Barcelona links? And he replied saying, oh, I don't think I'd get in their team anymore. I'm not good enough anymore to get past Busquets. He made light of it. But, if you'd have thought back 5, 6, 7 years ago, where the state of football would be now, and someone said to you, we'd have had Ancelotti as our manager, Koeman as our manager, Martinez as our manager, and by the way, and after they've managed Everton, they're going to go on to manage possibly Barcelona, Real Madrid and Barcelona respectively. You would have took that, because you would have gone, oh, we must have won something then, we must have done all right if they'd have gone to Barcelona or Real Madrid after us. So yeah, mad how football works out. Crazy times if that happens.
Do you know what? I love the idea, Les, that even the rest of the football world are just looking at Everton on people's CVs and going, no one could do well there. They are such a basket case of a football club. We can discount any kind of managerial like turmoil or mistakes that were made or anything like that. You know, Koeman had the shocker there. It's fine. It's Everton. Everyone has a shocker there. Ancelotti had a shocker there. It's fine. It's Everton. Martinez, exactly the same thing. It's like the whole world sort of realizes that Everton a bit of a basket case, and therefore just discounts any manager that hands the CV in at Barcelona or Real Madrid. It's like, oh, don't even bother putting the Everton spell on there, lads. It's fine. It's mad.
Yeah, it can be the only explanation for it, can't it? It must be like there's a gap in the CV. So, Mr. Barnes, what were you doing between 2014 and 2017? Oh, you don't need to know that. It's fine. You don't need to know. It's very weird. I mean, unlike Warren, I can't stand Barnes. I really just, his whole time at Everton did my head. And obviously, first season aside, but the way he ran down everything that Moyes built up effectively within a couple of years, it just really annoys me to this day. I think that's when the rot really started to set in, and we never properly recovered from that. Just the fact that any manager who's got a team with Lukaku in it can finish 11th twice baffles me. Absolutely baffles me. And I feel sorry for Lukaku and the fact that he's had him as an international manager, and he's probably missed out on trophies because of that too.
I think he'd be worse than Koeman at Barcelona.
He's got the potential to be. I mean, because he's the other end, isn't he? He's dead nice. So if you've gone from having a bastard like Koeman to someone nice like Martinez, who played totally different styles of football, it's like, it is literally like, have you not watched Everton? We did this and it didn't work.
But they effectively need to build a new team now, don't they? And I just don't know if he can do that. Like you said, his best season at Everton was based on the back of someone else's good work, and he just sort of came in and put the cherry on top and, you know, freed everybody up a bit. Yeah. The more and more that side became his team, the worse it got, really, wasn't it? You know, you think about those last few months before he left.
Yeah.
Warren's got a scar on his face here as the cheering at the Martinez ultras. I don't think he's very happy, but...
No, you know, there's a part of me that just thinks... it is a big gamble, don't get me wrong. I mean, if you look at it on the stats and facts, he hasn't done anything to prove that he's worthy of that job. He's done all right with Belgium, and he did okay for that first season. Well, he did brilliant with us for that first season. But as Les said, you know, it wasn't a very good couple of seasons after that. I don't know, he seems to me the type who could maybe embrace that, building a new team and having the youngsters around him rather than a few older heads in the team who he might not get on with. He might be able to, you know, I'm not saying he's going to be winning leagues or anything like that with them in the league, but he might just start something, I don't know. But yeah, it'll be interesting. It's just crazy, isn't it? It's just absolutely mad to think that all these ex-Everton managers going to these jobs. I can't get my head over it, to be honest.
Yeah, I think Xavi's been linked a bit as well, hasn't he? And Pirlo as well, which is another mad one. But yeah, and Carlo Ancelotti, I mean, I think probably more... Obviously, things aren't quite as bad at the moment for Real Madrid as they are for Barcelona. I think they're doing well in La Liga, and, you know, maybe a bit of a one-off that loss. But I just love the goal that the lad for Sheriff scored at the end to win it. It was very Phil Jagielka at Anfield vibes, wasn't it?
Bang on the half volley, wasn't it? As soon as it skipped up, oh, it was a belter. Absolute gem. Yeah, the Sheriff are third in the Moldovan National Division.
God.
I kind of put it all in perspective, doesn't it?
Yeah. I love the fact as well they've got loads of players that are sort of named after other high-profile players. Like, they've changed the name. Like, there's an Adama Traore in the team. There's a Cristiano in the team.
Like an Aldi Champions League team.
Yeah, that's what they basically are. Yeah. But just lastly, before we go on to speak about this version of Everton and what we've got potentially at the weekend, Idrissa Gueye's goal in midweek, Les. He's suddenly learned how to shoot, hasn't he? I think every time he had a shot for us, barring maybe the odd goal, I think he's got a good run at Huddersfield, but every time he shot for us, about 30 yards out, he had a bit of a nightmare, end up in the park end, but he scored an absolute banger at the weekend for them. And then against City in midweek, obviously a lot closer in, but yeah, properly lashed it into the top corner, didn't he?
That's two raspers in two games for him, isn't it? Yeah, he's one of those players who's left on good terms, and we're all quite happy to see him doing well. Because he was just a good, honest player, wasn't he? He had no agenda with anything. He didn't kick off about anything. And when the time came and he just said, look, I really want to go to PSG, no one could really stand in his way, because, like, well, yeah, that's fair enough. You know, you are moving on to bigger and better things. That's fine. And he has done. It's definitely surprised me that he is still in that team and he's still playing so well in that team. And not just in the French league, in the Champions League as well. He's like a mainstay of that midfield, isn't he? But yeah, I think someone put the picture up of him with Umani Asin and Everton kit, then him with Messi in a PSG kit. And it's like, it just couldn't be any more polar opposite, could it?
Well, I suppose as well, he was part of that Villa team that got relegated, wasn't he? That was like one of the worst Premier League teams ever. So he's certainly gone through the ranks. But yeah, I think Les is right, isn't he? He was in regards to, you know, he is one of those players that you can't help be happy for. And, you know, seeing him celebrating with Messi after he scored that goal, it must have just been a bit of a surreal moment for him as well.
Absolutely. I think Les touched on there about him not moaning. I think it's important to remember the PSG bid for him, I think, and I can't remember if it was the January or summer window.
Yeah, it was the January.
It was, and we turned it down and we said, look, you know, give up. We might have said give us the rest of the season, but we turned it down and no complaints, and it didn't affect him. You know, the way with some of these players, you can see it affecting them on the pitch. They have a bit of a sulk. They don't really turn up and play. He performed like he'd done all season for us, you know, giving it 100%. And, you know, as well as just being a grafter, actually a very good player as well. And you can, you know, we're all made up for him. All Evertonians are, because, you know, he's definitely left. He definitely left, sorry, on the right terms. And we're very grateful and for what he did for us, but we can also, as you mentioned, Matt, before, wish him well. And I think he's turning out to be one of them players that Messi, Neymar, Mbappe, the rest of PSG, I think they're all going to turn around eventually and be, he's going to be the player they're going to go, thank God he's in our team. He's the one that lets us do what we want to do. And I think there'll be a lot of credit going his way, and he'll sort of be the unsung hero. If they do anything this year, PSG in Europe, he'll be the unsung hero of that team. And there was rumours of him maybe getting let go, but since Pochettino's took over, he's firmly one of the first names on the team sheet, definitely.
I think he was like linked with Newcastle, wasn't he, bizarrely? Like, I think it was last summer, so 2020. Like, I think his future was a bit up in the air, so... Yeah, still amazing. It just feels as well as like every time they have a big Champions League game, PSG, and I know they've not gone on to win it yet, but you know, it seems like he plays really well in the big games for them as well. And maybe that wasn't something he did necessarily at Everton, but I think Warren's right, isn't he? Because watching bits of that game last night, Neymar and Mbappe and Messi, they are not going to press. They are not going to track back. You know, it feels very much like they're just going to be go and do what you want, lads. And you know, he's got someone like Marco Verratti next to him as well, who's not the most mobile, but I think it's him and Herrera, or it'd be him and Paredes, who we're just going to have to do running for the entire team for this season.
Well, that was always the thing at Everton, wasn't it? We quickly learned that he was basically doing the job of two players, and that's what it seemed like, because he was all over the pitch. The fact that he's still doing it, it sort of shows that if your genetics are right and you do look after yourself, even when you get the wrong side of 30, you can keep it going, because that was one of the concerns, wasn't it, with us? We were thinking he's approaching 30 now, maybe this will drop off, and he just hasn't at all. He got better, if anything.
The message to us all, I suppose, isn't it?
He's going. Kids.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but a great player. Wonderful to see him do well. I don't know, when we get into this midfield at the moment in Everton, who knows, though, because the Alan Decore are absolutely smashing it. But that does sort of take us on nicely onto to the toppies now. And just, you know, before we speak about the game at the weekend, you know, me and you, Les, sort of on the post-match after Norwich, we're sort of talking about how we're feeling about things. Warren, where are you with it all at the moment, mate, and the start of the season, and how do you think the team's playing? Because, you know, we were sort of saying before we started recording, or I was saying before we started recording, that I think it's always hard after a game like Norwich where you're expected to win and the opposition are really poor. You sort of feel like you have to dilate your analysis and dilate your excitement a little bit, but I think there's definitely reason to be positive about this team, isn't there?
There is, and looking at the start of the season, obviously Villa games was very disappointing, but then there's also been real positives, I think, of the two come behind wins at home, but also I think the Brighton game was a really big game for us to win. If you look at how they've performed this season, even against Crystal Palace, they're the fantastic, you know, they were 1-0 down for a large part, but they had a fantastic second half and probably did deserve to come away with a point, which a place which I think is going to be a difficult place for a lot of teams to pick up points this season. So I think that was a massive win for us. I think at this stage of the season, to have the points on the board that we've got is impressive. I think we will naturally tail off just because we haven't got the squad depth. You know, it's very much highlighted when we have two or three players out just how low on numbers we are. And when I say low on numbers, I know we've let a few go, but obviously we've let them go for good reasons. the words coming out of the club at the moment seems to be, or the manager at least seems to be, that come January we will be adding to this squad, and hopefully we do, because if we can get to January in that top eight, top nine, we could potentially push on and try and do something decent this season. But the start of the season, I think has been very welcome. I think a lot of us were a bit concerned that maybe, you know, obviously when Ancelotti left, what would the state of the club be in? Who would be left? And as much as we talk about, I was on a show with you a couple of weeks ago and we talked about Hammers, and, you know, if they can bang their heads together and try and get a tune out of them this season, that'd be so beneficial. But actually, I think him leaving now was sort of, in a way, it sort of allowed the club to move on from Ancelotti, if that makes any sense. And Benitez is allowed to go in there now and say, right, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it. And because of the way he's done, players like Townsend, Gray, are really thriving, and you'd hope that the rest of the team are picking up on that bounce as well. But no, certainly really pleased at the start of the season. Villa, obviously, as I mentioned before, disappointing, but we're going to have results like that with the squad we've got at the minute. And hopefully this will be the start of maybe adding a bit of quality here and there, January, next summer, and building on that. But yeah, very pleased so far. Really happy with how we've performed.
Yeah, I think me and Rob were sort of talking about this, Les, on Subs Weekly, in regards to, while I don't think Everton at the moment are playing as at a level as high as they were probably at this point last season, when they were just sweeping teams aside, you know, for some reason this feels a bit more sustainable. And I know that sounds counterintuitive and not really right and a bit contradictory, but it does feel as though there's, you know, this is going to be a steadier job, and it's built on probably more, you know, built on sturdier foundations than what it was last year.
Yeah. Even last season when we were flying, there was that niggle and doubt at the amount of goals we were conceding anyway. And I think when you're just looking to outscore teams, that isn't sustainable. I don't think any teams really sustain a long campaign of doing that. You need to build it on a solid defence, which is pretty much what Benitez has done his whole career. The worry for me when he came in was that's all it would be. It would just be a solid defence looking to eke out wins here and there. But it's been quite the opposite, hasn't it? We've been very much on the front foot. He said to the core, you get forward, Alan sweeping in behind him, that's working really well. Players with pace, that's working really well. That's something we've not had for a few seasons now. So, yeah, there's no complaints from me at all. And, you know, the criticism that can be levelled, or not criticism, but the caveats that you can put on the start of the season is that, well, the games we should expect to win. We look at the three home games we've had, we've not beaten them in the last time we played them at Goodison. We drew with Southampton in the last minutes, got away with one. We got beat by Burnley, we got beat by Norwich last time over at Goodison. So you can't take any of that for granted. And it, you know, it's been a good start, as Warren said. Villa aside, which was, again, it was a tough result, that, because we were in the game for an hour, just a mad 10 minutes, a bit like it was against Burnley.
The benches were the difference, weren't they?
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah, you know, they brought on Leon Bailey, didn't he? Totally changed the game. I think he got man of the match, didn't he?
We brought Andre Gomez on to play up front with Alex Iwobi. So
yeah, you know, there are mitigating circumstances. It wasn't an easy result to take, and the League Cup result, we just have that every season anyway. I don't know why we get weird.
Yeah, chalk it off. It's like the Everton CV. Just, you know, League Cup doesn't count. It's fine. It's just a madness all the time. But before we speak about how we're going to line up on Saturday, and you want to see us line up, it'd just be interesting to get your thoughts on what you've made of United so far this season. I think on Sky and the commentary, Warren and Gary Neville always describes them as an odd bunch, and I think that's such a great way of talking about them, because you look at the squad and, you know, you look at all the players in there, and I think your immediate reaction is, God, if they play well at the weekend, we could be onto a bit of a hiding here. But it's not always like that with them, is it? I mean, Villarreal should have won the game last night pretty comfortably if it had not been for De Gea and a bit of a defensive mix-up and a Ronaldo goal at the end. They're just a really, really weird team, aren't they?
You said it there, Matt. You look on paper at the players and the names that they've got and the money they've spent, and you think, wow, this team should be right up there. You know, and obviously the signing of Ronaldo has give the whole club a big lift and a big momentum shift. But they've had a couple of disappointing results, and I think there is a definite sensitivity in their squad. There is a definite flaw there. Whether we can exploit that or not, that's, you know, that's up to us to do. But I think on the day, definitely with some of the players they've got, they could be phenomenal if he wanted to be. If Greenwood, who I think Greenwood is a very, very good young player, I think he could be a very special player in years to come. If he can turn it on along the likes of Lingard, when Lingard's been useful when he's come on, Lingard with Sancho, you know, the Pogba, Bruno Fernandes, you know, just them four alone in the attacking sense. And then I think they've got decent young players at the back. Luke Shaw had a very good season last season. Wan-Bissaka's a good player. Harry Maguire's obviously very experienced with England and playing in the England team. De Gea seems to have just come into form that he had a couple of years ago. He looked amazing at the moment. So they have got the ability to beat us by a big score on Saturday, but there is flaws there. There is something maybe not quite fitting at the moment, and whether or not they put the finger on it as the season goes on, I don't know. But obviously it's Man United, so we've always got to be concerned about how we approach it. But when I look at them compared to Chelsea, City, and dare I say it, the other mob across the park, I don't think they're as good as either of them three at the moment. They're not far off, and obviously with the signing of Ronaldo, they're a lot closer to them. But out of the four teams, I think they're marginally the worst out the four.
I feel like a side, Les, that, you know, watching them in the game against, watching the you know, highlights of that game against Villa, watching them in the League Cup against West Ham. There's one of those sides that you feel like if you stay in the game against them, and, you know, you get to 60, 70, 0-0, and, you know, this is going to hinder us by the fact we've got really got anyone on the bench. But they feel like a side to panic a little bit. And, you know, there's a lot of pressure on Solskjaer at the moment. There's a lot of pressure on those players to deliver something after, you know, it's a long time for them. I think it's 8 years without a title now. It'll be nine by the time they get to next year. They haven't won a trophy for a while. Haven't won under Solskjaer. Just feels like there's a lot of pressure on the whole squad, and they can get a bit panicky at times. And in that Villa game and in that West Ham game, after 60 minutes, you know, United were just piling forward, and then there's just so much space on their counter-attack for, you know, for the other sides to sort of, you know, surge into. And I don't know, it's just one of those games where I sort of look at it and think, if we had a Richarlison or Dominic Calvert-Lewin or another option to bring off the bench when it gets stretched and we could stay in there, then we might have a chance of getting something here. But it just feels like everyone at United is just under a bit of pressure, and it's all started to show a little bit at times.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue for me has got to be the manager. He doesn't seem like a manager who can change to like the circumstances of a game. It seems like he's got one plan, put his best players out in that formation, and then if that doesn't work, it's a bit like, okay, well, we'll just keep going and see what happens. He's not got a good CV as a manager, has he? He did well to turn things around at United when he first got there, and he did a good job up to a point. You kind of feel with that squad now, he's got to start delivering. And I don't think he's got the managerial nous to do it. So you think, yeah, if we stay in the game up to 60 minutes, frustrate them, that's probably the best way to go about it. But as you say, there's not really, we've got no options. You know, we're probably going to have Rondon up front. It's probably going to be the same team, isn't it, at the start of the game, Norwich. And as we saw in that game, sort of making a breakthrough even against them was difficult. We didn't look like conceding, but then Norwich never looked like scoring, really, apart from maybe one chance at the Park End. United's going to be a lot different, and I think it's going to have to be built on a lot more defensive solidity. And I said this on the kickabout last night, I'm a little bit concerned that he might go to five at the back again, which I don't really want to see because I just don't think it suits our players. But I think he might defer to that again just to sort of give that extra protective layer of the defence. But I think the only thing we can do there really is try and stay in the game and try and nick something, because we haven't got the quality in the team to really go at them. And it'd be stupid to go flying at them, you know, the attacking threat they've got.
Yeah, I think that the five at the back question is quite really interesting, I think, Warren, because, you know, you sort of immediately think that, you know, you look at the Norwich team and it's basically 4-2-3-1, wasn't it, with Iwobi, Gray and Townsend playing behind Rondon. And you look at United, obviously, and you think, where can you shore that up? Where can you make changes? And you immediately go to like a 4-3-3, maybe bring a Davis or Gomez in there to play alongside Alan Decore. But he's not played that system yet, has he? He's not gone to the three in midfield. It seems like it's either the 4-2-3-1 or the 4-4-2 we played earlier in the season, or he goes to the back five. And I just think with United and with, you know, Pogba floating into that space off the left, doesn't he? Fernandes has got a great record against us. Feels like one of those games where 4-3-3 might suit us a little bit.
Yeah, I think watching, I did see large periods of the United game against Villarreal, and if anyone from Everton was scouting that game, they would have saw the way Villarreal played with the men behind the ball. So that's why talk of the five probably seems a possibility. You know, we might not choose it, but the way Villarreal set up was...
Did they play a five at the back, did they, Villarreal, or was it like 4-4?
Do you know what? It was a 4-2-3, whatever, but the way they set up when they were defensively, it looked very much just like four at the back and then one sitting sort of in and the rest sort of, you know, around. But United didn't move the ball quick at all. United really didn't move the ball quick. And it was only on the second half when, with the momentum, they started moving it. But that first half, Villarreal should have been 3-4-0 up. They had some brilliant chances that they just couldn't put away. If we can sort of... That might be the blueprint to go for it. If United aren't playing as well as they can and not moving the ball as quick, if we can stop them playing in wide areas, which is why I think he may go for a five, because that's the thing. If they can get it wide and get it forward quicker, that's where United are traditionally dangerous. So he might opt for that just to stop the width and have it narrow in midfield, have that extra man in midfield. We'll wait and see. But I think if we took anything from that game last night, it was the way Villarreal set up. They weren't defensive, but they were obviously letting Man United have the ball, which in Rafa's, you know, credit, that's where we looked at our best this season, particularly in the early games when we've let, you know, the so-called best teams or away from home have the ball and then we've gone on to counter. My concern is, though, is that I don't think we've got, especially with Richarlison and Dominic Calvert-Lewin, especially possibly being out, I don't know if we'll have the quality or the, not the pace, because we've got the pace, but the quality going forward to maybe get that goal on the break. It'll have to wait and see. It'll take something special maybe from Gray or from Townsend, or, you know, dare I say, one of the midfielders, to Corey, Allen, Davies, if he starts chipping in, because we're going to need something a little bit different from other than from the usual, because they'll have us shoved. They'll know that Corey's our strong link. They'll know that, you know, Deeney gets crosses in from wide, and they'll do what they can to stop that. So we've got to be very prepared, but I'm sure whatever we go with, I'm sure we'll see a very similar tactical setup the way Villarreal played, because they certainly troubled Man United for long periods of that game.
Yeah, it'd just be great, wouldn't it? Let's just have one of Darmo or Richarlison just to, you know, suddenly available for this game. Yeah. You know, it feels like our chances probably go up off 50% if you can just get one of those lads on the pitch for an hour, and then you can give Rondon half an hour when maybe, you know, because he's not fully fit, he's potentially up against a tired defence.
Well, that was why he was bought, wasn't it? He was bought as like a last half hour player to come on and either, you know, just cause hassle in a tiring defence. But, you know, the fellas had to play like 90-minute games for us. Yeah, it's having the two of them out is a proper knock, isn't it? You know, I can't even remember the last time both of them have been off the team. It always seems to be, for the last couple of years, both of them always seem to, one of them at least, always seems to have been in.
Do you know what I think it was? I think it was Wolves away when we won 2-1 and Keane scored at the end. But I think Richarlison did come on in that game very late on, but he was nowhere near fit.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, it just shows how hard the job it is at the minute. You know, we're doing well to get results, because you take the two best attacking threats out of any team and they're going to struggle. So, you know, it's going to be really difficult. I think we'll get beat quite heavily. To be honest, I've got like 90s Old Trafford flashbacks coming at me left, right and centre here. It's not nice at all.
Do you know what? I spoke to Jay, I said before, about United, and he was sort of saying that their fans see us as like a bit of a slip-up side, because we've had some... I'd totally forgotten about the 3-3 last season there. You know, that was a wild game, wasn't it, in itself? Yeah. You know, with great moments where Dom scores at the end and Ben Godfrey's telling the linesman another place to do one. I'll filter my language down a little bit there, but you know, they sort of view us as like they've had the 4-4 as well, haven't they? In 2012, they had the 3-3 at Goodison a couple of years before that. So I think they're a little bit antsy, and maybe one of them where the half 12 kickoffs can be a bit sleepy, can't they? Especially if you've had a big, massive crescendo like they had on the Wednesday night in Europe. Mm. You know, it could be one where you can catch them cold a little bit, maybe.
You'd hope so. You definitely hope so. My worry and my concern is that they have not been at their best for a while now. And eventually, teams like Man United turn that around. You know, there's they seem to catch a form eventually. Now, I'm praying and hoping it's not against us, but I think I'm with Les. I think they'll just have a bit too much for us, unfortunately, Saturday. I think what was the case last year when we had them, do you remember we had them in the cup as well last year when we were doing really well? And we, do you remember we were flying, we won like every game in sight, and then we drew United.
You went to that last, didn't you?
Yeah, I actually had the privilege of going to the one game where fans were allowed.
Yeah, you were allowed, yeah. But when we drew them in like the October, we were flying, and the game wasn't until December. So when December come round, we'd plateaued or dipped, and they'd done what United do and you know, hit form. And the difference that day and the difference all the times we played them last season was just their strength and depth. You know, their bench could go in our, you know, go in our team any day. So I think that'll be the difference on Saturday until we get that quality in. But I did make my predictions, the Blue Room predictions at the start of the season, and I did say that we always take one or two big results a season. So we all will beat a City or a United this year. So who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, I think I hope so, mate. Without Dom Richarlison, there'll be some go in that. But just that cup game, I still wake up in a cold sweat thinking about Olsen's distribution that night.
Oh,
he just couldn't control the ball.
that was the night, because obviously we hadn't seen him live like at the game, and that's when it really struck me how different it is when you're watching stuff on the telly, because you don't see stuff like that necessarily. He literally kick it and it go right up in the air and probably drop on the halfway line. It was weird. He couldn't do a thing right with the ball in his feet. But in that game as well, they probably should have had two players sent off, shouldn't they? Fernandes should definitely have been sent off.
Grim one for Fernandes. Richarlison was out for a few games after that, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, yeah. And there was what's his name up front? One who scored the winner.
Oh, Cavani,
sticking his fingers down me in his throat. could have easily, well, should have gone for that.
He's got a great record against us, hasn't he? I think he scored in every game. He's got 3-3 against us.
Yeah, he always seems to wrap it up at 3-1, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That's the thing he goes to. Because I always think those games, we only got beat 2-1. I know Cavani scored 3-1, yeah. Suppose we've got that to go against as well, haven't we? It's, you know, it's fans back in Old Trafford. It's the referee getting pressured. It's not getting decisions necessarily. It's nowhere near as bad as it used to be when Ferguson was manager. But, you know, it's still against you when you go there, isn't it?
Yeah, feels like that. Teams get a penalty every week, don't they? And Solskjaer's still moaning about not getting penalties. But saying that, we're getting them every week at the moment. Three in six games to start the season. Can't believe that. But Richarlison was absolutely gutted, wasn't he, at that last weekend? Waiting for Dom to be on the team, and we get a penalty, and he's not playing.
I heard the way he allocated the penalties there. It was a case of whoever feels most confident to take it.
On Saturday against Norwich?
Yeah. So that's why Andros Townsend just went straight up to their keeper and took the ball off him.
Not arguing with him, are you? He's been playing dead well. But I'm not going to ask for predictions, because I think you've both insinuated that you think we're going to get beat. Quite cool. I'll go for the game 1-1 draw. Yerry Mina, last minute equaliser or something like that. That'll
do very much. Yeah, we're due a big lumbering centre-half header from Mina, aren't we? So,
yeah, he's not scored for a bit, has he, actually?
Yeah, we'll take that. Do you know what I was thinking the other day as well? We haven't scored a direct free kick for ages. So let's have a nice direct free kick in front of the Sheffield end or something. That would be nice.
Luca Dean will be on them.
Yeah.
Townsend, maybe.
Just we haven't had one for ages, so I wouldn't mind seeing one.
But the last one would have been...
What's that mean?
His last one would have been Dean Year at Burnley, 2018.
I was thinking Lincoln in the club.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, even that was pre-COVID. So that's how long ago we're talking.
Oh, God. Yeah. I really like the idea of Yerry Mina dancing down the strap for them, though. I'm all in for that.
After he's taken a direct free kick.
I always remember... Tim Cahill celebration when he scored down that end once. He did like a little tiptoe celebration to the corner flag. I don't know why, I just remembered it then. Yeah, then he just sort of does his little punch, but yeah. Would be good if we get something down there. But yeah, we'll see. We'll have instant match reaction to that on Saturday. Just before wrap up, bit of self-plug, doing the marathon on Sunday in London. If you want to donate to a great cause, which is Everton in the community, I'm sure everybody who's listening to this will be well aware of the great work they do in the city region, helping obviously the Everton Free School people, really helping the mental health and all other aspects of social care. Please do donate. The link will be in the bio caption of this podcast on YouTube as well. need all the help and get all the support I can get at the moment.
Bit of a cold today,
lads, as well. So I'm hoping that passes before the weekend.
You'll sweat it out on Sunday. You'll be fine.
Yeah, so can't be doing with that. But
good luck, mate. Anyway, I'm sure you'll do brilliant. And well done as well for doing it and stepping up.
Depends what the result on Saturday is. You know, we get smashed 5-0, I'll be that grumpy. We get a snatch a late draw or bag a win. I'll be
running in if we win. You're still out. Tonight if
we win. Getting on the train back to Manchester for the party instead. Yeah. do donate if you've got anything to spare. I appreciate time's hard for everyone, but it'll be going to a great cause. But cheers to Warren. Cheers to Les. That's been your weekly show, and we'll speak to you again soon here on the Blue Room.
When you bundle your renters and auto insurance with Progressive, you could save money, but it doesn't cover any terrible memories living rent-free in your head.
Remember when one of your best players got injured, but not like on a play or anything? He got injured celebrating a play, and it's not like it was a game-winning play or in the playoffs, and he was out the rest of the season because he was injured while celebrating? Yeah.
Sorry, we can't save you from that memory, but we could save you money bundling your renters and auto insurance with Progressive. Coverage from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Renters insurance and bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
Sports Social Podcast Network.